And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Oh my goodness. White Snake.
One I like.
Oh yeah. Rocket League.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get
it's still that weird voice. Such high hopes.
It just feels like I'm in the 2000s.
Yeah. I saw his tongue come out.
Hey. Yeah, say it and spray it. Something like that. Yeah, I'm not a big, huge fan of that one. It seems to be the third week in a row it's been.
Well, you know what? It's the way it works. I mean, everything's it's on a rotation, so I don't know. It's a various, however it handled. I don't know.
Our guest is Lauren Black. She is the author of a book called Country Music Forever.
Hey, Lauren.
Hello.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
So this is your first ever book?
It is, yeah. It's crazy to think that I wrote a book. It hasn't sunk in yet.
Now, okay, where did the whole idea of, you know what I feel like doing? I'm going to write a book. Has this been a lifelong thing, or was this just like a one-time, I'm going to just write a book thing?
Well, I always thought it would be cool. Like, I went to school for broadcast journalism, and I was the yearbook editor in high school. So
of
it's always,
you were.
Yes.
Of course you were.
It's always been, like, in the back of my mind. But actually, I was on a Disney cruise last year in the middle of the ocean, and I got this Instagram DM. And, you know, sometimes it's the service is spotty, but it came through. And it was someone from a publisher in the UK. And they were like, we are looking for a country music expert. And we think you fit the profile. Please call us. We want to publish a country music book. So as soon as I returned back from the Disney cruise, we had a call. And I sent in some sample writing and kind of tried out. And now
are you the only person ever who's not gotten scammed?
I don't know.
Like,
I
gotten that DM, I'd have been like, okay, yeah. They want my money. Like, wow.
Well, I did, you know, research some. Like, I looked through his profile and then, you know, the publisher's profile. So it looked legit. Wow, they didn't ask me for money. Well, so that was a good sign.
I was going to say, I think that would have been like you'd have done all the work until they asked you for money. And then that's when you step away and go, yeah, you know, I'm out.
So,
right.
But they didn't.
So the book is, I'm looking at it now. It's done so well. It's kind of, it's like in an alphabetical style. So A, you know, like Acuff, and B, blah, blah, blah.
A is for Acuff.
The one at B, this hilarious. See, you'll even get it. Big White.
Oh, this was one of my favorite entries. I got a little creative with that one.
Big White. Do you know what that is?
Big White. I have no idea.
This is not Jelly Roll. It's not that Big White.
Okay.
It's Dirk's truck. His old truck.
Oh, wow. The old Chevy.
That's pretty. And that's in. That's the
wow,
local.
Yeah.
Local knowledge.
Yeah. That's what Dirk's used to pull up to the studio in. Big White.
Yeah, so the publisher didn't really want the book to be like a full list of names. So basically when they came to me, they were like, we want it to be a little over 100 entries. And so I try to get creative. But also if you're talking about country music, like you have to have, you know, Dolly and Willie Nelson and Loretta Lynn. And so with Dirk's entry, I got kind of creative with that one. And I really love how it turned out. Kind of told his story through Big White, the truck.
Right.
And he still has it. And I just thought it was cool because, like, you know, as he built his career, like you said, he used to pull up here to the studio, like when he played on Broadway, Big White was parked outside. So I kind of thought it was cool that the truck has been with him through this whole journey.
Do y'all remember the time his Camaro caught on fire?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was down on Broadway or something like that. And he had an old classic, like 67 or something Camaro, and it burned down.
I know.
Like, he went to go play and then came out and his car was on fire.
My thoughts on Dirk's in that era was when he would come in and he would drive the truck in, and I looked down and his boots, he has like
duct tape
on his boots. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, man, I'm just trying to make it. I'm like, dude, you've made it. Like, you've got... You have plenty of money. I go, I know where you live. Like, what are you talking about? You got a multi-million-dollar home. Who are you trying to fool here? But he stayed into the whole character.
I was
going
to say, I love the fact that he was hanging on to where he came from. By the way, I was right. It was a 1967 Camaro. He had only driven it 3 times, and it caught on fire outside of a bar downtown. And Charles Kelly from Lady A was with him at the time. They said he walked back outside. Charles wanted to see his new 67 Camaro, and they walked outside, and Dirks is like, well, there it is. Oh. Thing's hot.
Oh, my gosh. They couldn't duct tape that up. No.
Lauren, you know, you can always tell a 67 Camaro because they have the triangle windows in the corner on the front.
Oh.
Yeah, now you know.
Well, there's your next book.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so...
So delightfully placed.
Was there anything that you learned doing the book where you're like, oh, that's I did not know. Obviously, there's a bunch of stuff you don't know.
Yeah. I think one thing that really stuck out to me was just like how many artists like were told no so many times, you know, and it kind of inspired me because it's like, you know, Lainey Wilson had doors slammed in her face for so long, and then like so many labels told Kane Brown no. And you know, there's just so many stories like that. And that was one of the things that kind of stuck out to me was that it wasn't like this easy, clear path for everyone. And so that was something. And then also, you know, just like the book also highlights some places in Nashville and also just places relating to country music. And so after writing about Billy Bob's Texas, I'm like, why haven't I been there? I have to go there. So now it's on my bucket list.
Oh, yeah.
The largest honky tonk. Have you guys ever been there?
We have. Okay. Yeah. We hosted something there.
Okay.
Back. Some shows back in the day. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've got, I mean, it's really, and I really do like the way you put like Riley Green's Golden Saw. What is that?
Yeah. So that was another one that I tried to get a little creative with instead of just putting, you know, Green, comma, Riley. So when Riley was coming up, his grandfathers had this barn on their property and they kind of transformed it into like an Opry where they would play live music. And so he would go there, and that's where he first, you know, was introduced to icons that his grandfathers would cover, and like local people in Alabama would come and play. And then over COVID, I don't know if you guys remember, but of course everyone was doing everything at home. And so they came up with like these like really interesting, like, this is my live series and things like that. So he had returned to the Golden Saw over COVID, and he brought like Drake White and a few of his friends from Alabama to play there. So I kind of thought that was like an interesting story of just like where he grew up and how he was introduced to, you know, the traditional country music that he grew up on, and how his grandfathers, of course, who inspired I Wish Grandpa's Never Died, you know, inspired him. So that was a pretty cool one. But you know what's interesting? Like, there's not a lot of like newer artists. So like with Riley, I was in the book. So Riley's relatively new. So I felt like that was kind of an interesting way to tell his story. And then another one is Megan Maroney is the emo cowgirl.
I saw the emo there. I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool too.
Now, why is she the emo cowgirl?
Oh, well,
is that what she's known for? I just know her as being Megan.
Yeah,
I didn't realize
she's the emo cowgirl.
I didn't know anybody called her that.
She is. Yeah, it's kind of a phrase that she coined, like emotional cowgirl, because she has like the sad girl songs, and her concerts are group therapy, and she writes about, you know, the emotional side of breakups and things like that. So she's in the book as the emo cowgirl.
I see that you have the Dixie Chicks in there, or Chicks now, I guess.
Are they under C or D?
They are under T for the.
Yeah, the way that I had no, you know, the way that the book is laid out, I had no input into that. I just would submit my stories. But I do think they did a really good job of the way that they laid it out. But yes, they are in there.
It's a great, it's a really good, it's a book you can kind of go back to. Like, you don't, it's not like you have to read it all.
Yeah,
the time.
Yeah. Like, I always tell people it's like a coffee table book.
May I see
like,
it?
Yeah. I feel like it's,
thank you.
I feel like it's something that you would just visit Nashville, bring home, put on your coffee table. The entries also lead to one another. So like, let's say you're opening up about Dolly Parton and you're reading her entry. On the side, it says see also. So it would lead you to like the Dollywood entry, or philanthropy, because obviously Dolly is the queen of giving back. Mm-hmm. And philanthropy is such a big part of country music that I felt like it was important to include that. Like, it talks about Miranda Lambert's Mutt Nation Foundation and Randy Owens, Country Cares, you know, for St. Jude, which we all support. So, you can kind of go from one entry to the other. You don't need to sit down and read it from one into the other. And it's just like a really giftable book, you know?
I actually, you know, Big D was telling me about it, and this is the first time I've actually held it in my hand. This is great.
Thank you.
Like, I'm not kidding. This is like super, super cool.
Also, from an aesthetic perspective, it's really pretty. Like, yes. You said, to have on your coffee table.
It looks like a Hatch show print as a book.
Yeah.
And the colors are great.
So it's illustrated, as you see. There's a little over 100 entries, and there's like maybe like 75 illustrations, something like that.
If I were to put 3D glasses on, would this jump out at me?
Maybe like the old ones used to come in a cereal box or something. Yes. And the illustrator is named Travis Knight, and he's actually out of Chattanooga. I've never met him. I just follow him on Instagram. And the publisher found him, and he submitted some, you know, illustrations to kind of try out just like I did. And I thought he did a really good job. I will say I am not an illustrator, but I feel like it is so difficult to draw people. There were a few of them, like, I love Kenny Chesney, and there was a few of them, like Kenny was one of them that I like sent back. I was like, his bicep is a little off, like maybe like tweak that.
His bicep is a little off in real life.
Yeah. And so he tweaked that. But another thing is like, if you, as you're thumbing through, you'll notice that like Loretta Lynn she's not really pictured as the Loretta Lynn that I picture. I kind of suggested that a lot of the illustrations depicted the artists in like their heyday, you know? So like Vince Gill is like, we love Vince Gill and he's still super handsome, but he's like the Vince Gill that, you know, was like,
that's not Randy Travis, that is Conan O'Brien.
But you see, again, it's like in their heyday. Yeah. So like, I felt like that's how the artist would maybe want to be depicted anyway. Like Reba has like the 90s Reba look, like almost when she was in Little Rascals, like the big hair and you know, that sort of look. But
Bo Cephas made the book.
Yes, and they're included as Baby the Bo Williams Cephas family. So they're all included in one entry there. But
this is so nice. I mean, it's really, really well done.
Thank you.
And I am telling you right now, when does it actually go on sale?
September 15th in the US, but it's actually out already in the UK.
So if
which
I got on
crazy.
Amazon UK, I could order it?
Potentially. I have friends overseas that have ordered it. So
well, it's crazy too, because the UK is so hungry for country and Nashville and the culture. Just
I mean, I just saw you just thumbed by Luke Combs. I mean, gosh, he just played 3 sold out shows at Wembley. Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Luke's is interesting because I gave my tidbit about I don't like brag or anything, but his song "Doing This" was inspired by my question.
Oh yeah.
So I put that in the book because I.
Oh, you're the one who said if you weren't doing this, what would you
yes.
be doing?
Yes, it was for an interview for Forbes.com. So that was me.
Oh,
a few
nice.
Years later, they were like, "Do you still have this audio?" And like, unlike you guys, because I'm sure you have like this crazy
archive.
Organized
archive.
I don't have that. And somehow it was still in my Gmail. Like, I had recorded it and then emailed it to myself and it was there. It was from 2018.
Did they use that in the video?
I will admit, Luke, if you're listening, I was very disappointed. I was replaced by a man in the music video. I totally would have been
just like the WNBA.
Here we go. Once again.
Did you get your name on the song? Did you just get a songwriting credit?
No, no, nothing. But the song was in the Hall of Fame when he had his exhibit. So I got to go see it and stuff. But that was pretty cool. I will say I did see him live in Louisville because that was a phone interview when I was writing for Forbes.com in late 2018. And so I went to go see him in Louisville and I got a meet and greet like through his team. And I was like, hey, I'm actually the Doing This girl, you know? And I guess he had already had this set list done for that night, but the next night he played it and he talked about like how we finally met in person and stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah, he's a great guy, man. Good
Yeah,
dude.
That was probably.
I enjoy watching him being over. I forget he was in Scotland or somewhere. And he was out to eat dinner in some really nice place, apparently. And he walks out and, you know, there's people taking pictures. It's like paparazzi and stuff.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. And he gets in his car or the truck and he goes, well, I'll be back here tomorrow because it was so good. I'm like, that's the most Luke thing to say.
Yeah. The paparazzi was crazy over there.
Hey, what about pranks, tour pranks?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was
tour pranks
one.
Made one of and under the tease.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting one because, again, like they wanted me to tell some different kind of things like, this is unique to country music, I feel like, that people do. So the tour pranks entry was just for people who don't know, like at the end of a tour, a lot of times people will pull pranks on people. And like speaking of Luke Combs, like one of them was like Lainey Wilson And Luke Combs like put a bunch of dirt on Jordan Davis's stage for Buy Dirt, like literally bags of dirt. Or Kenny Chesney and Megan Maroney, like she came out as like she thinks my tractor's sexy on like the little John Deere tractors. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. Like I feel like for someone's like, oh, this is a thing in country music if you don't pay attention. But that's definitely an interesting one with these pranks. And some of them, like in the 90s, they got pretty intense with the pranks.
Aaron Tippin was telling us he and Brooks and Dunn, when they were on tour, used to go at it.
Yes.
Like messing with each other from underneath the stage and doing things that the crowd could never see, but they were just all over each other.
There was one, it's funny, so I wrote this book between June 28th and September 15th of last year, and so since I wrote it, I kind of like closed that chapter in my brain because it was a lot of work in addition to my day job. So I haven't like really looked and read through everything, but there was one in here that I mentioned in 1994 when Brooks and Dunn, they're like the kings of the pranks, where they pulled one on Faith Hill. And then she got her revenge back when they were coming back into the U.S. and she told customs that they had something and like their bus was stopped at customs and they had to get checked and everything. And it's like, that's like a pretty big one, getting you know, customs involved. So
also,
I feel like
you never know if there's actually something on the bus. That's the crazy thing, is that sometimes there is stuff on the bus.
Yeah, that's a pretty risky one. And then there was one where Brad Paisley put like dead or like put chicken breast underneath a seat on Blake Shelton's tour bus, and then they were wondering like, what's that smell? You know, like that game, like let's play this game, what's that smell? And they had to try to find it. So that is,
wait,
you know,
who plays that game, Lauren?
I mean, sometimes I have two kids, like
what's that smell?
Did they leave like something in their lunchbox for a month? Like, you know,
what's
we got to go track this down.
What was it Tracy was telling
my favorite
us?
Radio game. What's that smell?
What's that smell? Tracy was telling us about, I don't know if Tracy Lawrence, if he did it or it got done to him with the crickets on the bus, and they put crickets, on the bus and they couldn't find them. And they finally had to turn the heat up and let it run for like hours to try and kill the crickets. He was not happy.
Was that Tracy Lawrence and Tracy Byrd? Like
It was. So Tracy Lawrence is the one who did it. And he put a bunch of crickets onto Tracy Byrd's bus. And that's how it is. And then Wetzel ended up doing the same thing to Colby Cooper recently.
Oh my gosh.
Like as an homage. Yeah. I think that's kind of great.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you're out there with like, I mean, I know Brad Paisley was like a big one back in the day when he was touring hard doing these pranks. So you got to always watch your back.
Got to watch your back. The book is called Country Music Forever. Lauren Black, Country Music Forever. Now, here's the deal. It comes out September 15th here in the States. So probably the best way to get that, and instead of having to do a, I don't know, I guess you could order it early, how you do that.
Like, when is it going to be ready for pre-order and all
that?
Yeah,
well, it's on pre-order now.
I'm getting one.
Thank you.
This is beautiful.
This makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I think it's just, it's going to look great at my house. Like, even the colors will be like, hey, it'll pop on the table.
I love it.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, so it's available for pre-order now, and I found this out. If you order on Amazon, like, it'll deliver the day it's actually released. So that's super exciting. Now my new obsession is like, you can go on the Amazon listing, and you can see, out of all the country music books in the world, what number it's ranked at.
Are there a bunch of country music books?
I mean, there are. Yeah. Like right now, Kenny Chesney's number one. Clint Black has a book.
Oh, yeah.
Hannah Dasher has her cookbook out. And so that's my new obsession. It's not really a healthy one because I look every day and it's like it changes in the rankings. So, but the highest it's been is number 79,
right,
which I was like,
oh my gosh. Hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah. Right. This thing is not even out.
Yeah. And so that's really exciting, but I'm working with the publisher. I think my dream is, I mean, wouldn't this be really cool to be sold at like Cracker Barrel or Bucky's? Like,
yes. Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. That's like my dream. And so, also the airport, because I feel like anytime.
Do you want to see this real quick?
There it is.
Cover pre-order now.
Yay. I love it.
Oh, just pre-order live on Amazon.
That's amazing. So Thank you so much.
So you just go to Amazon and just put in Country Music Forever.
Yes.
Book.
Yes. And it comes up.
And it'll pop up and you can pre-order.
My husband
right
made me this like fancy website too, countrymusicforever.com.
Look at Ryan, man.
Yeah. Wait. Fancy. Oh, man. You guys are good. Did your research.
And your two kids.
Yes.
Two bratty kids playing weird games. What's that smell? What are you guys doing? Why is it stinking here?
Oh my
well,
gosh.
We're just playing.
My house doesn't stink, I swear.
Your house stinks. If you're playing, blind. What's that smell? That's a stanky house.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so totally. I think like another entry that I thought that I had fun with was like the style one, because I feel like, I don't know, maybe you guys aren't as into it as me, but I feel like how artists sort of have their own style. And I talked about like Lainey Wilson with her bell bottoms.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I actually talked to a friend of mine, Styles, Eric Church, and Luke Combs. Her name's Katie Robbins. She's a stylist.
I just met her.
Oh my gosh, she's
at
great.
At Co-Wetzel the other night.
Yes, she's so great. So I actually phoned a friend when I was doing some of my research, and she kind of told me, you know, the difference between like style and fashion. And she talked to me a lot about Eric's like now iconic American flag scarf that he wore. And you know, now when you go to Eric Church shows, like a lot of fans wear the scarf and how they threw it on him during like the Springsteen music video and stuff. So it kind of talks about that in the book too, just like how these little pieces or like a split decision of Katie throwing that on him became like a thing.
And
you know,
the crazy thing too is that once they get known for that iconic piece, it's so hard to get away from it.
Yeah,
like who was Cole? It that
Cole Swindell.
Yeah, with
his Georgia Southern hat. Yeah, yeah. And like Lainey, I mean, I talked about this in the book, but I mean, it was really smart with her to differentiate herself by wearing the bell bottoms, because there's so many women in country music and it's like, how do you stick out? And so I feel like she did a really good job of that. And then now it's like when we see her not in bell bottoms, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
Like, is that Lainey?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, but I'm not sure. I need to look.
It's also like the first time I saw George Strait without a cowboy hat on.
Oh.
And he had on just like a baseball cap. And I was like, that's weird. And now you see it all the time because that's become an image. You know, he kind of shifted gears and went to the modern cowboy hat.
Does he have a full head of hair?
I think so.
I think so, yeah. I want to say in Pure Country, they show his hair, I think.
But like recently, yeah, no, I feel like when he goes to the Hall of Fame, I feel like he takes off his hat. And I feel like I've seen him with a full hat.
I saw him driving one time, and he was in a Bentley, and it was really weird. Because I'm like,
you should be in a King Ranch.
I'm like, yeah, well, not a King Ranch, but definitely a Silverado, like a 2500 or something. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's like same thing with Keith Urban. You see their country stars in their cars, and you're like, that doesn't fit. I mean, Keith, it does.
The crazy sports cars.
Yeah. What was it? The what's the 1,000 horsepower or whatever? A Bugatti.
Bugatti, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he drove it to CMA Fest one year.
Well, he had, I want to say he had different colors.
Oh. Yeah, because I think once it got parked at Bridgestone, that there was actually a paparazzi photo that was like, well, we know Keith Urban has arrived at whatever show it was because they had a picture of him pulling in the garage with that car. And
what a flex.
Right?
What a flex. And you know what? I appreciate that. He's not showing up with duct tape on his shoes. You know, he's going, yeah, life is good.
He's got a 69 Camaro. Speaking of Camaros, Dirks.
Did his catch on fire?
No. he bought a really good one. He didn't get one of those. Well, you can just buy it. Now, it's a high fire danger, but just be careful. All right, I'll do it. So the book, again, it's called Country Music Forever. Go and get it. I'll go on Amazon, type in Country Music Forever
book. I've got mine pre-ordered. Country Music
so
Forever
exciting.
Book.
Lauren Black, good to see you. Anything else?
No, I think we covered it all. You guys are like really building me up here because it feels so exciting.
The book is great.
Not that many people have seen it. So I actually, if you thumb through this one, there's a few signatures. So this is like my copy. I want to get it signed by a few people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if you noticed, but like Randy Travis signed it and Cody Johnson.
Where do you have us in there? I mean, where do you want us to sign it?
I must have missed that.
We could be under the pranks. I'll sign it as Keith Urban.
Oh my goodness.
Again,
yeah.
It's called Country Music Forever, Lauren Black. Thank you, Lauren. It's good to see you. Nice to meet you.
And I am going to waltz us out.
That's a waltz.
It's not really a waltz.
No, it's really not a waltz. No.
Ooh, this was the podcast.
But now it's over. But that's okay.
Because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.